It is a great privilege for me to be here with you in Corian this evening just to share briefly a word of testimony of what the Lord has done in my life, of how he has saved me, and also what he has taught me, where he has brought, what he has brought me through, and how he continues to lead me day by day. In a minute I want you to turn to a couple of verses. If you should turn actually first to Psalm 34 and the verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. I would like to say as well, and like to thank your minister, the Reverend Higginson, for the opportunity to be here. I was asked a couple of weeks ago, and as I began to think what I would like to say, there's quite a few of you who know me quite well in here, and you're thinking, well, if this man gets up and starts talking as much as he normally does, we'll never be out of here tonight. So, but I was really just laying before the Lord and considering, you know, what specifically would, you know, what would I like to lay before you? I mean, there's so much I could say, but with the time that I have, there are a few things that I would like to share, and I trust that the Lord will give us help to do that. But the first thing I felt I did want to say is just to even give a word of thanks to you as a congregation. It may seem a strange thing, but I've been coming to this church. I've been coming to the youth rally now for a number of years. I've got a number of good friends in this congregation in Corian. Some of you may not know me that well. Some of you have got to know fairly well over the years. But I just wanted to say, as a word of encouragement to you, even as part of my testimony, that I can never remember a time coming to this congregation and not feeling a great welcome and a real sense of fellowship. And that's something that always spoke to me and encouraged me. And that comes right from your minister, right down to all of you that I've spoke to and met over the years. And I trust that's an encouragement to you, because it's been a great encouragement to me. And we still, and I can speak as well for the, there's a few other ones who come up here with us each month, the rally. And we really enjoy coming up, and, you know, as many months as we can. And I mean that very sincerely. We really do. And we enjoy your fellowship. And I trust that's an encouragement to you. And just to continue in your labour of love for the Lord. Because, you know, it's always meant a lot to me. And I can see that you all have a vision to serve the Lord. And you seem to be all in the same, singing out the same hymn page, I suppose. But that has been a great encouragement. I just want to thank so many. And I don't want to mention names, but I suppose if I had to mention them, the Gibsons have had to put up with me more than anyone. So, but we do thank you so much for that. But we'll just turn here, just two verses I want to lay, and then I just want to share a few thoughts. So Psalm 34, and the verse 8 there says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." And again in the Psalms, but this time in Psalm 83. Psalm 83. And it's the final verse there of Psalm 83. And it says there, "That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." Perhaps we could just briefly bow in prayer and just ask the Lord's help. And I would just covet your prayers and just pray that the Lord would grant help and aid as we speak to you. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Father, for thy word. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Just thank you for everyone that's gathered in here tonight, Lord. Both the Christian and the non-Christian, we just thank you for gathering us in, Lord. And what a privilege it is to be in here and to hear your word. Lord, I just want to come and commit even this time now before you. And Lord, just ask that in all that is said that you would be glorified. Pray, Father, that you would grant help. And even the things that I believe you have burdened me even to share, pray that you'll bring those things to my remembrance. Pray that it'll be an encouragement to thy people. It'll be a challenge to the unsaved. And Lord, that Christ would have the preeminence in all things. To this end we pray, we ask for thy spirit and for thy help. And prepare hearts, we ask, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So again, it is a great privilege for me to be here. And really, just to give you a background in my early life, I was raised in a Christian home. Both my parents were saved. And throughout my childhood, a very happy childhood, really. Have no real qualms, a real loving family. But a big part of that, and a big thing, I suppose, that affected my life was at the very start of my life. Tragedy struck our home shortly after I was born. My mother passed away of meningitis. I had literally just been born, so I was about a week old. And I suppose that's quite hard-hitting, I suppose, in a sense, when you're starting it here with the testimony. But For me personally, and I'm not doing away, I mean, the Lord gave me grace to deal with that and to understand that a bit more as I got older. But in many ways, I was maybe sheltered from the emotional pain of that because I was so young and I didn't really know much about it. But really, the format of our family then, in a sense, changed. My grandmother, my granny Snodgrass, she kind of took me on basically as one of her own children. And for the first 4 years of my life, we moved over with my uncle and my aunt and my cousins. And two of my cousins are with me here tonight. They're the ones that I spent the first 4 years of my life with. They live just over the road from me. I've moved house like four times, but I've never moved any more than about half a mile. So it's quite a strong Snodgrass hold up there. But that's as much as I remember. I remember, so the first 4 years of my life I was there. And then when I was four, my granny and my father felt it would maybe be good for us to move back in together. I had two older brothers as well. So when my mum passed away, Samuel, who I'm sure you know as well, Samuel's been here I think a couple of times before doing different things. Samuel would have been four, and then with a middle brother as well, Stephen. I have a wee sister now too, but I'll share a wee bit about that in later time. So then we moved up. We thought it would be good to basically bring the family unit back together. So then basically for the majority then of my life, at that time it was my father and my granny and my three brothers. We moved back up with my dad. And as I say, a very loving childhood. And a great testimony to my dad is, and both to my granny, is steadfast faith throughout. And, you know, as you can imagine, you know, that what happened in our home at that early stage changed a lot of things. But I'm thankful that it didn't change how my dad and my granny sought to bring us up. And from whenever I can remember, we attended Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. And I remember being sent to pretty much every meeting that was going. And we went morning and evening on the Sunday, and we were sent to the children's meetings, and we were sent to Sunday school. But as I say, I enjoyed my childhood, very loving family, and with a close family as well, close family connections, living nearby us. And I'm very much sheltered from the world, but not sheltered in a sense of then we were limited from anything. And I'm very thankful for that. And really, to be honest, that really is my childhood, right up to probably secondary school. Didn't really have any problems in primary school, but as I would say that, I never had come to make a profession of faith in those early years. But I would state this very clearly. I don't think there was ever a time that I didn't believe in God. I don't think there was ever a time I didn't believe in essence what the gospel was telling. And I had a head knowledge. I believed it in my head. And as well as that, you know, and I trust you will understand as an encouragement. If anyone knows my dad maybe wouldn't have sat down when we were 10 or 11 and explained the 5 points of Calvinism to us. But I'll tell you one thing my dad did do, and he continues to do to this day. He lived out the Christian life. And he demonstrated that he was a Christian. And I think that's something that always stood out, both him and others as well. And my granny, of course, who had such a big influence in my life. I didn't need to ask them if they were Christians. I knew they were saved. And I knew there was something different about them. And I knew in how they raised us as young boys that there was something different. And as I say, it wasn't until I came to secondary school. And it was really around this time when I was about 10 or 11 was the first real time I remember coming under conviction of sin. There's a lovely wee couple. They still live just up the back of our road, just a couple of miles from us. Some of you may know them. They were involved in the early days of our church in Londonderry. They're Mr. and Mrs. Henry. John Henry is his name, and he held a gospel mission at his home. Well, he was a farmer, and he had cleared out one of his barns, and he decided he was going to have a gospel mission. And I remember, I can't remember exactly what age it was, but I think I had just started secondary school. So it was that summer, and me and a couple of our other cousins, they were next door neighbours of ours, we decided we want to go up to the mission. So we hopped on the bikes, and we cycled up. And there was a man that night, the evangelist was a man he was Mr. Trevor Galanders, don't know if that name's familiar. And again, I can't remember what he preached on, but I remember that night he made an appeal at the end. And that night I knew I needed to get saved, and I was under conviction of sin. However, I resisted the Lord. I think looking back now, it was perhaps fear, maybe a lot of things. I knew the devil's, for one other reason, and I really wanted to raise my hand. But I put it off and I went home. And I actually remember a few days after that, I was speaking to my granny in the house. And I went there and I says, "Granny, I really want to put my hand up the other night." And she basically told me off and says, "Oh, you should have put your hand up, you know." But she meant well, you know. But I guess it wasn't long after that. I can't remember. I'm bad with sort of times and dates and that. But I know it was fairly soon after. It may even have been the same summer that Joe Brown, the son of the Reverend Ian Brown, who was our minister there, he had asked me to come along to one of the youth council camps. Was going to Scotland that year, and so I decided that would be a great idea. I'm going to go, and I think that was August, around the 10th, I think it was 2001. So we went there, and it was there that I came to know the Lord. Again, as a bit of background even to go in there, can't again remember really being under any deep conviction going there, but I remember enjoying the week, and there was a man by the name of Morris Ray. Don't know if that name rings a bell. But he really took me under his wing. I mean, that was really the first time that I had sort of been away on my own without my family. And as I say, I had a sheltered upbringing. I'm not ashamed of that. But, you know, people probably don't think it now, but I was very shy. And he kind of took me under his wing. And he just spent time with me and chatted to me throughout the week. And I always really appreciated that. And it was near the end of the week, possibly the Thursday. I think we were possibly going home on the Friday. But it was near the end of the week. And we were all in the dorms one night, the boys, and we were getting ready to go to our beds. And Morris came in, and he just shared a word of testimony. And I can't really remember much. I just remember him telling us how he got saved and of his upbringing. And again, that was good. And he finished up. And then it kind of turned into just a kind of a discussion. And we started chatting about maybe things that maybe young people struggle with. And, you know, people were asking different things around the room. And I remember going to raise my hand, and I don't know what I was going to point out. I actually genuinely can't remember. I was just going to make a point about something. But it just instantly, I just came under real deep conviction of sin. And I have no other way than to explain it like that. It was just so, just overwhelmed with my own sense of guilt. And I suppose that's the two things that the Spirit of God really revealed to me. My own sin and God's holiness, really. And the reality that if I was to die as I was, that I wouldn't be going to heaven. But that I would be going to a lost eternity. And it was so real. Under deep, deep conviction. Literally just in a moment. And I spoke to them for a wee while. I think actually for a while no one really knew. I broke down with just tears of conviction, and basically then I was taken down, and it was actually the Reverend Gareth Wilson. He was a leader at the camp. Him and I can't actually just remember the name of the other man, but they took me into a wee side room and showed me all the passages and showed me my need of a saviour, and showed me also how Christ had died and how he really was our substitute, and he died in my place. And he helped me understand the gospel. And as I say, I had a head knowledge. But just that night, it just all made sense, if that makes sense to you. It just clicked. And that night, I knew I had to get saved. And just very simply, there was no fancy words. I just asked the Lord to come into my heart and to save me. And, you know, I know tonight, I know He saved me. And I'll maybe share in a wee while, you know, I've had struggles, and maybe as an encouragement to someone, like anyone, I've struggled with assurance and I've struggled with all sorts of things. But I know tonight I'm saved. I know with assurance, and I know it was that night. And, you know, I'm just so thankful I can look back on that night that, you know, the Lord did break in. And it really was the Lord. That's another thing I want to say standing here. You know, it is all by the grace of God. It is sovereign grace that anyone is saved. And, you know, all my upbringing and all my having a good, loving parents and knowing the gospel, that wasn't going to save me. And to be quite honest, and one of the first things that God really pressed upon my heart as an early Christian was fellowship and a desire to be at the house of God and a desire to read the Bible. And to be quite honest, for the first 10, 11 years of my life, right up to when I got saved, I didn't even like going to church. I went to church because I was sent to church. If I could get a wee Sunday night off, well and good. But very early on in my Christian life, I knew that was something that the Lord had really just given me. That was part of the new man. It was just a desire. I wanted to go to church now. It was no longer you know, go if you want, or you're being sent. I wanted to go, and I'm just thankful for that. And I suppose, just to move on through years, that's really how it was, just bit by bit learning. I got involved in the youth fellowship. I got good friends. I'm still good friends with the likes of Joel Brown, Aaron Brown. A lot of those people just helped me along. They were kind of my age group, I suppose. And just learned to grow bit by bit. Started reading my Bible daily. And again, that's just encourage even young people here tonight. You know, if you can be consistently in the Word and be in prayer, you know, you'll fight a lot of your battles there. But it's when we start drawing away from it, when we start not reading the Word of God and we stop praying, that's when the devil gets in and that's when we start to struggle. But the Lord just gave me a desire to read. I didn't understand it all and I still don't understand it all. But He began to just teach me, and the Spirit teaches us. And another thing I'd like to point out, when I was about 14, 15, was a real burden to go to the prayer meeting. I had maybe, not avoided it, but I maybe just had this thought in my head, well, you know, the prayer meeting's for the older people. You know, I'm a young person, I don't go to the prayer meeting. And that was maybe the kind of view that some people had. Another thing was, our prayer meeting's on a Wednesday night. And I'm a big football man, I like my football. I'm not that good at it, but I still like it. We used to play indoor on a Wednesday night, and I used to remember getting ready to go to the football, and at the same time, my dad, and by this stage, my dad's remarried. We'll share a wee bit more about that in the evening. My dad and my stepmom getting ready, and they were all dressed up in the suits and all, and ready to go out to church. And do you know, the Lord just used that, because just over a period of time, I just began to be convicted and saying, you know what, I should be at the prayer meeting. And it ultimately came down to a choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep going to the football on a Wednesday night, or are you going to come to the prayer meeting? And I didn't really know, because if anyone's trying to organise, like when someone's not coming to football, you have to try and find someone else. So I had to try and find an excuse out of not going. But I remember there was a deputation meeting. My brother normally organised it. So I says, look, there's a deputation this week. So I went one week, and then eventually I got away and I just says, look here, I'm going to start going to the prayer meeting. But again, folks, let me say that was the grace of God, because, you know, it was just over time that He convicted me. And I don't want to stand here and say that, you know, I'm some higher spiritual person. And I'm not saying here tonight that if you don't go to the prayer meeting that I'm any better, you're any less than me. You know, I understand that a lot of people have responsibilities, but I would encourage you, and that's all I want to do, I would encourage you that if you're not, particularly young people, if you're not used to going to the prayer meeting, do go, because it's been such an encouragement to me, and I have learned so much at the prayer meeting and over the years, and I'm so glad now that the Lord did work on my life and give me that burden to go to the prayer meeting, because I don't think I would be even where I am today if it wasn't for that. So take that as an encouragement, not as a rebuke or anything like that. But I do encourage you to be at the prayer meeting, because it's such a blessing too, just the fellowship. Maybe you're having a tough week. To go in midweek and to be able to just be under the Word and to pray just gives you such an encouragement. And I've countless times of when I've come out, maybe went into a prayer meeting, I've been a bit downcast and feeling the pressure, or maybe something's up that week, but coming out and just feeling encouraged and knowing that the Lord spoke to you or encouraged through the time of prayer. So if I could just leave that even with you. To move on again, as I say, at this stage I'm well integrated into Londonderry, as I still am today. I love the people down there dearly. I love the youth fellowship. I'm still going there. And it was really through the Consider Christ campaign, I suppose, when it began, possibly around 2009, that I suppose the Lord started to challenge me more about service and what more I could do. And just sort of through that, I think the whole denomination was really, you know, encouraged through that. And some of us young people, we just started doing some open airs and stuff. And that's just really where it started. But the Lord really convicted me just of that statement. I'm sure you've heard it, you know, that we are saved to serve. And, you know, I think sometimes, and I was guilty of it throughout my teenage years, of maybe just, I'm saved, and, well, I'm going to church and I'm doing my bit, but never really been willing to sort of push yourself out there and get more involved. But the Lord just showed me that there is a great need out there, and just through those mediums, really, nothing special. Just got involved even with the Consider Christ. Been away a few times. Had the great privilege of being away there in 2012 Olympics team. I really, really enjoyed that, and been over to Wales. And again, that's an encouragement again to any young people that's here, that I'd encourage you to go, maybe if you're able to go to maybe one of those outreaches or something. Because I've met a lot of friends there too, good, godly friends, people that have poured into my life and that I've been able to just grow up with and be encouraged spiritually. I suppose in the last year or so, probably the last couple of years, I've been thinking a lot about service, and I'm still really committed. I have a real burden for young people and even for the children's work, and the door's sort of opened there in our own church to be more involved in the children's work, and that's sort of where I feel the Lord's laid upon my heart. And just to share a bit with my wee sister, so to bring her up, and the importance of that is this, because I believe the Lord's actually used her in a way to show me, even just burden me. I look at her, today's actually her birthday, she's 3 today. I look at her and I can't help but ask myself and think, where's she going to be in 5 years, 10 years? What's she going to think of Christ? You know, and my brother too, I have a middle brother, my middle brother's not saved yet. He's an old Sam as well, and Sam got saved back in November 2011, and that was a great encouragement to me. And I don't want to go into it tonight, maybe for time, but Sam had been in the world, and it was a great answer to prayer when Sam got saved, and he to this day continues to be a great source of encouragement to me, even though we would get the odd debate, you know, and obviously I'm always right and he's wrong, but it is a great encouragement, and he's going on well. And I can't help but look at Ellie, that's her name, my wee sister, and think, where's she going to be? And my brother Stephen, who's not saved, and I genuinely believe the Lord will save him, and I can't let myself think that he won't be saved. But he has 2 wee boys, so I'm an uncle now too, and they're, 1 and about 4 or 5 months, so I can't help but think that's the next generation, and God's just really burdened me for that, and right up, and including in that, really to finish, just even the last year or two, what some things that the Lord has taught me, mainly about himself. You know, about a year ago, I really struggled with things like the sovereignty of God and, you know, dealing with hard doctrines. And, I believe in election, but I struggled with that stuff, and the devil came in like a flood, and I felt that everything that I had believed and, you know, but the reality was I'd never searched that out for myself. I never taken the time to go, right, well, okay, I've been raised in the free church and I believe this, but I'm only believing it because people are telling me it, or do I believe it because the Lord's convicted me by it? And again, not the one, but for a rather prolonged period of time, probably well over a year, I was in a really dark place just as far as I just didn't know what to believe, struggled with those sort of things. But you know what? The Lord really came. And that's why I read that verse in Psalms there, Psalm 83:18. If I just even read that again. It says there that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. And you know, God's really just given me the bigger picture. You know, I have no problem with it, and it gives me great comfort tonight to know something, that God is sovereign, that he is in control. It brings me to my knees, really, to understand. I don't understand at all, but that God chose me and that he saved me. And folks, I'm not here to preach doctrine to you, and I don't want to do that because it's a testimony, but I would encourage you that what you believe is really important. Because, and the reason really for that, and I have a quote here from John MacArthur, and I just think it sums it up, and it's really where I have come to, and it's where I'm at today, just as I close. And it says, John MacArthur says, "This Christian living is a reflection of Christian thinking, and Christian thinking must and is always connected to doctrine." So what you believe, what we believe, is going to affect how we live. And folks, we need to get a right view of God, and I'm so thankful today, not that I know everything, and maybe there's someone here today and you've got questions and you can't get answers. You know what? I'm the same. And you know what? I still don't have answers to those questions, but you know what I've learned? We don't need those answers. Because when you get that bigger picture, you know, and I love there, and what God really brought me to was our Westminster Confession of Faith, the Shorter Chasm, asked the first question, what is man's chief end? And the answer is given that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And just to sum it all up, I keep going on with this vision and how God's given me just a greater understanding of who he is. You see, for many years I lived, even as a Christian, as a legalistic Christian. And I still felt that I had to earn God's favour somehow, even though I knew I was saved. That I had to somehow earn it. And that if I had a bad day, that God didn't love me enough or didn't love me as much as he did yesterday. But you know, we sang a hymn this morning in church, loved with everlasting love. And you know, that's the reality of it. Led by grace, that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. And God has taught me that salvation is not an end in and of itself, but that God is the end. He is the end of salvation. Knowing him and loving him and enjoying him is what Christian life is all about. And so now my desire is not to know things for a head knowledge and not to live so I can look down on others. It is to know God. Because the more you know God, the more, as Psalm 34:8 says, the more you taste of him, the more you see that he is good. And you know, folks, tonight, God is good. He's been good to me. Haven't I had many struggles? And you know what? I still have struggles, and I struggle with sin. And I don't want anyone standing here or sitting here tonight thinking that, you know, that boy's... I'm not. But you know what? I've been saved by grace. I've been kept by grace. And in closing, I would say this. I've said it in closing three times, but let's finish. And I think it sounds really just in how I've come to understand it. My assurance tomorrow and the next day and the next however many years I have left in this world of knowing that I'll still be okay is not the fact that I have more knowledge of, you know, that I have all this head knowledge. It is that Christ has saved me, and if he's holding on to me, I'm not holding on to him. And he has promised that he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. And so it is upon the merit and the work of Jesus Christ that I will wake up tomorrow and I will know that I am a Christian. I will know that one day I will be in heaven. But you know, there is a great challenge in that. And as I say, my burden, my desire to leave it before you even pray is just really just to live for Christ. And I'm still learning fully what that means. But if I could live and burn out for Christ, then I trust that that's the Lord would give me the grace to do that. When wherever he would lead me in the next year or two in service or wherever that happens to be, I trust that he'll help me. And I just thank you again for the opportunity to be here. And I trust that even just some of the things that I've shared have been an encouragement to you. And again, the sovereignty of God, and even going back to my mum, one day I'll know why all that happened. And when you understand that everything that comes into our life has a design by God, it gives great comfort. And I trust it brings great comfort to maybe someone who's hurting even here tonight. So thank you very much, and thank you for listening. Amen.